Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Will Bradley, along with my special guest host and guest tonight, Lane Walter, who some of you may know from Train to Hunt. He also has been on Outback Outdoors. He's a firefighter, a man's man, a hunter, a Train to Hunt athlete. There's really not enough nice things I could say about him. Welcome to the show, Lane.
What's up, brother? That's already way too many nice things to say about me. So tell my wife all that, will you?
Yeah, I'll get her just this little bit of the recording and send it to her.
All right, sweet. Let's do it.
So I had the chance of catching up with Lane this past weekend in my trip to Denver to Phil's shop, No Limit Archery, in Denver, Colorado. For all of you who have not made it into Phil's shop yet, if you're in the area or live in the area, I would highly recommend checking out his place, because No Limit Archery is just an unbelievable archery store. It's phenomenal. I wish it was here in central New York. Unfortunately, it's not. And it's a shame. It's a real shame. We hundreds of people through the door this weekend, got to catch up with Andrew Munsell from Hamskay, Aaron Snyder from Kafaru. Couple of the reps from PSE and Hoyt were there. We got to talk with them all. There's a video up that Lane helped us shoot and edit, and it's up on our YouTube channel. So just search Natural Born Hunter on YouTube and you should be able to find it. I think there's also one up on our Podbean site, and we shared it on Facebook so you can check it out. Also, I just wanted to thank you all of you who stopped by the shop. It was just an amazing fun experience. It was great catching up with a lot of the guys from Train to Hunt. Dan Mead, Phil Mendoza, Mark Christensen, who, all came and worked out with me at Anchor CrossFit. It was an amazing time. There was a lot of PRs being set, guys just, clanging and banging, throwing weights around, getting after it. Those boys, they ran me into the ground, and it was an amazing feeling, a lot of fun. What did you think of the grand opening of No Limits Archery?
Oh, dude, there's not enough nice things I can say about that shop. Phil really just has that thing set up and dialed. My father-in-law actually swung in there yesterday, and he called me up as soon as he got done, and he said that's the nicest shop he's ever seen. Really enjoyed the experience just going in there and not knowing anybody. They treated him really well, and he was shooting one of those new Hoyt bows, and I think he's pretty much sold on it. But the shop itself, the grand opening, it was awesome. It was cool to talk to all the reps and see just the new bows that they have and they're bringing out. And I tell you what, dude, Hoyt is bringing some awesome stuff to the table. I loved it. That was probably my favorite part of the weekend, other than seeing how awesome this shop is.
Which one did you like the best?
Man, I'm partial to the Carbon. I'm shooting a Carbon 34 right now, to the Carbon Spider 34, and I'm loving that bow. And I was already partial to the Carbon, to be honest, and I shot the new one, the new Defiant Carbon 34, and that thing was legit. So the aluminum one's awesome too. My wife's in the market for a new bow, and I think she's probably gonna end up going with the aluminum one just because she likes the way it looks. So,
dude, they're sexy bows. And we had on Matt Davis from Hoyt, I think it was last episode, and he was saying these engineers, they brought the heat this year. And I got a chance to shoot the bows, and I love my obsession, but I'm not going to lie. The Hoyt lineup this year is incredibly impressive. And like you said, that Carbon bow, if I was to get a bow that was a Hoyt, I think I'd go with the Carbon, man, just the lightweightness of it. And knowing that whether you're hunting in the mountains or wherever, or competing in a train to hunt event, and some of you may know, and those who don't know, this will be the first time you've heard about it. Phil will also be holding an event that's an archery tournament, and we'll have an athletic side to it as well. I think he's calling it the Alpha Bow Hunting.
Alpha Bow Hunter Challenge.
Alpha Bow Hunter Challenge. There we go. Thanks, Lane. The Alpha Bow Hunter Challenge, and at his shop, it'll be Memorial Weekend. You guys can all, those who want to, sign up. I don't know if sign-ups have started yet, but when they do, go out and sign up. I think I'm going to try and make it out there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, dude. That's going to be pushing you a little close with the kiddo, isn't it?
Actually, yeah, I just realized this. I haven't even announced it on the podcast, but I did on some social media.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Gonna announce the show. Little baby Bradley will be joining us around May 21st. So yeah, you're right. I just thought about that. That is gonna be really close. See, Phil, maybe you should change the date. It just wasn't meant to be then. So pretty stoked. Gonna be first time dad. I'm excited about that, man. I know you've got a little boy there, and
oh, you're gonna love it, dude. Except for when they tee it. My kid's teething right now, getting his molars, and that makes life a little rough. But yeah, I love it, man. I wouldn't change a thing. It's definitely the best thing I've ever done. So
you can't just put like cough syrup or alcohol or anything just on his gums. Isn't that like the old trick?
It only works temporarily, brother. It's only temporary.
Oh, can't just go man up.
Hey, come on, dude. You're 15 months old. It's about time you start, you know, bucking up. Rub some dirt on it, move on.
Shouldn't you be growing a beard already, dude?
No, he's a Walter, dude. He can't grow a beard.
No facial hair.
Yeah, you know that picture that Phil posted on Facebook where it's got that bear with like two strands of hair on it, says when I try to grow a beard.
Yeah.
And it shows a grizzly, which is like when you try to grow a beard. I'm right in Phil's boat, dude. I can't do it. I just blame it on my job that I'm not allowed to have one, but honestly, I can't grow one for shit.
Yeah, you know, being a fireman, safety factor, right? Hair's.
Yeah, no, it will. I can't get a seal with my mask, so I'm not allowed to do it.
For the best, then, meant to be.
What's
it like being a fireman?
Dude, I love it, man. It's definitely the best job in the world for me. It's not for everybody, but I love it. Before this, I was in the oil field making some awesome bucks in the oil field and just working my butt off, but as soon as I got this job to go work for the Denver Fire, I hopped on it. It's the best decision I've made for my occupational career, I can tell you that.
Is there a lot of fires?
Yeah, I'm actually last year I moved over to the arson investigation unit. Oops. And so I go and I investigate every big fire and every undetermined fire. And if it's an arson, I'll actually go pursue the case, do the investigation, and go arrest somebody if they actually intentionally set the fire and file the charges. And we get about 400 calls a year in my unit. So about 400 big fires a year in Denver.
How many arsons?
That's a good question. I've only – I had to go through the whole Denver Police Academy. So I've only actually been out investigating since July. I've arrested 3 people.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite a few as far as
– Dang. I can't imagine that.
It's kind of fun. Right. Yeah, you still got me. Yeah, no, it's fun. I like it. It's the schedule isn't as good as what my other schedule was, but it's a good, fun, different side of the job, you know?
Yeah, it sounds fun, man. So.
And they gave me a gun. I don't know what they're thinking. I told them if you just give me a bow, I'll be set. I won't even have to show up to these shooting courses. But they wouldn't let me do that one. So apparently it's frowned upon to walk around with a bow on your back around Denver. I don't know.
Little bit, I can imagine that.
Apparently, I can shoot a pistol faster. Not more accurate, but faster.
There you go. Now, this isn't your only job.
Yeah, no, I got a couple other irons in the fire, but my next main thing is I'm a field producer for Outback Outdoors.
And that's pretty awesome. We've had Trevin on. What does a field producer for Outback Outdoors entail?
Basically, I go out in the field. I'm the lead cameraman when I'm out there, and we choreograph the shots, and we're out there. I'm basically a cameraman out there, but I'm thinking a lot more. I'm having to monitor the audio and thinking about the storyline when we're capturing it so that when we go back to edit it later, then I know what we actually have a story instead of just a bunch of footage that we're trying to throw together. So, and I'll do some of the rough cutting and editing back in the office, but I like to leave that to Dustin because that stuff makes you want to pull your hair out, honestly. I'd much rather be out in the field recording it and give it to someone else to edit.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about this podcast, only I don't have anyone to edit it.
Well, this is easy because at least you have a timeline and everything stays together, but when you have like 80 hours of footage – for that you have to condense down to 24 minutes, 22 to 24 minutes. I can't remember what the exact, I think it's 22 minutes. And that's a lot of footage to go through. And you probably watch it at least twice just to make sure you're not cutting out the good stuff.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of the current state of hunting television?
Honestly, I don't watch 99% of it. I watch Outback Outdoors just to see how we're doing. And the main other show that I watch, I'll watch Pure Hunting every now and then because I know Willie and Chris Novak, and they're great dudes. And they've really stepped up their game in the past year. And then I will watch Uncharted. And other than that, that's about as all I can take because most of the other shows, to me, it's just too much hype and too much recreated BS. And it really pisses me off looking at it and knowing, I'm like, dude, that's a recreate. At OO, we've got away from the recreates because you can tell when it's real and when it's fake.
Now, everybody knows what a recreate is. For our listening audience who doesn't know the insider lingo, a recreate?
I'll just set this up, and this is typical whitetail for you. You got a guy sitting in a tree stand, and the buck comes through, and then it's going to show a close-up to the guy looking, and it's going to show him knocking his arrow, even though he should have had the arrow knocked when he got in the tree stand. And then it's going to show him breathing heavy and then drawing his bow back, and it's going to be zoomed in tight on his face, and it's going to show him shoot, and then you're going to see the arrow hit the deer. When really all that cameraman was doing was focusing on the deer, and if he was smart, he'd have GoPro set up, but that's not going to have your close-up. And what you're actually seeing is the dude shooting a target out of the tree stand after he's killed this deer, and it's just a recreate shot. Or you'll see a guy stalking, and you'll have one angle where they're looking out to the east, and it's the actual cameraman angle, and it's a little moving a little bit, and then you'll have this perfect shot of him drawing back and shooting perfectly, and then you'll see the animal getting hit, and it's from the exact opposite angle where they just showed nobody was. That kind of stuff, the recreate, just really – it looks good, but it's not real.
It's camera magic then.
It's camera BS. Camera magic is when you got the cameraman there and he's capturing it all and he's making it look good because it's real instead of recreating a bunch of stuff.
All right. Well, say someone was going to up their camera recreate game, right? I'm going to give you an idea here right now that you might want to use in Outback Outdoors. You know, maybe you can use it with Dave or Trevin, and they're going to be like, dude, we're going to take recreating to another level to where it's actually the thing to do again. Right? We're going to recreating. Check this scenario out, right? You show an animal getting shot, right? And then you go to the recreation. And it's like Trevin hooked up to like a series of wires and stuff. Just only you get him CGI'd out later. And flying through the air. And he's got his bow out as he's flying and just wham! Knocks him, hits him. And then he just starts fist pumping. As hard as I think that was is what people I think just people would believe it, they would love it, they wouldn't get enough of it. I think we could go with this.
You know what? I think you're onto something. And Trevin would be easier than Dave because he's lighter.
Yeah.
So I mean, I love filming Dave, but we're gonna have to do this with Trevin first, just because you know the logistics of he's a lot lighter. So maybe. I think he's a $150 soaking wet. No offense, Trev.
Let's do it this way. Like it's an angry bear or some kind of crazy animal. And people are like, oh, no, look at this crazy bear. And then all of a sudden, hey, what's that? It's Trevin just rolling in, flying through the air with his bow. Cinema magic.
You know what? I would actually watch that over like 90% of the other stuff that's out there, though. So I think you might be onto something.
I think you might be right. And you were a part of the Ibex, right? The film.
Oh, dude, that was an amazing hunt.
That was amazing. That film gave me a whole lot of hope for where Outback Outdoors is going because I felt like you guys really brought it to that next level.
Dude, there's some awesome stuff, and we had such a huge team on that. I mean, I was one of probably six cameramen out there. We had a huge support team of guys just out there catching B-roll all the time when we were up on the mountain. Dustin was barely on the mountain. It seemed like he was stuck back at camp just processing all of this footage for us because you want to talk footage. We had gigs of footage on that. I mean – What's after a gigabyte? And we had a couple of the things after a gig.
So that's really what it takes then. You have to have a whole team to capture something like that. Or do you think you'll be able to do it on the lower scale, like a couple guys, like you would have to do for a show, and still get that kind of greatness?
We'll be able to catch that with just a couple guys. And I think a really good example of that, if you caught last week's show, it was Dave Baronio's Desert Bighorn Sheep Hunt. And it started out with a hunt with his son, and then it went on into that. And that's one that we just did with two guys, me and Jordan Brown, out there for a couple days with Dave. And I really think that we brought a really strong cinematographic, whatever the hell you want to call it, show, a really pretty show. But it was really interesting, had a great storyline, and just an awesome hunt altogether.
I have not seen it, but now that you've mentioned it, I will go check it out.
Dude, check it out. It's legit. It's another one of my hunts that I have all these hunts, and it seems like every one I go on is one of my favorites. But that hunt with Dave, the hunt with Trevin with his Ibex, and then I just recently got to film my mom's mountain goat hunt, and those are probably my top three hunts I've filmed.
You took some beautiful pictures from the mountain goat hunt.
Oh, dude, I got some sweet footage from that. It was kind of hard doing that because I was guiding my mom / filming. And if you can't fully commit to one at a time, and if you're not fully committed to the camera, then stuff suffers. And my number one priority was getting her the goat, but I still got some really gorgeous footage and some sick pictures out of that. It was a really fun hunt.
And being out with your mom, that's got to be just on a whole nother level, right? I mean, most people you hear like father and son. You don't hear a lot of, you know, son and mother teams out there hunting.
Oh, dude, and it was awesome. The story behind it, my mom fell 7 years ago from the barn and broke her pelvis and her ankle and just all kinds of stuff. And she was laid up, and I was able to swing and check on her almost daily, and we would watch a couple hunting shows together while I was checking on her, making sure everything was going good. And when time came to apply, she's like, I was in on the computer applying for tags, and she's like, hey, why don't you put me in? And that fall, man, she was out in the woods with me, and we were hiking around, and that's how she really got back into hunting. She grew up hunting with a rifle, but never with a bow. And so when she ended up getting her mountain goat, it was the first animal she took with a bow. Over the past 7 years, she's been trying and trying, and we've had opportunities. It just never worked out, and so it finally worked out, and it was awesome. I'm so happy I was there.
That is sick. I can't imagine there's a huge success rate with mountain goats and bows either.
No, I don't think so. It was a rifle tag is what she drew. It was right, but in Colorado, you draw a rifle tag, you can use any lesser weapon that's approved, and so she was able to do it with her bow. And she had a gun with her, which is actually her dad's rifle that he's had for years. And if she ended up having to take one the last day with a rifle, she would have debated doing it, but she really wanted to get done with her bow, and we were lucky enough to make it happen, man. It was awesome.
That's fantastic. Is that something?
And hopefully
she's gone out back outdoors, or
I don't know. I got to talk to Trev. I got to throw it together. It's not really in the plan for Outback Outdoors. If he wants to use it, I'm all for it. But my plan is to make a really good film with it, and hopefully I can get something submitted to either the hunting film tour or the full draw film tour, and hopefully I can get something in there and just share that with everybody. Either way, it's going to get shared somewhere so guys will be able to see it.
It sounds like a powerful film. I love your whole premise, the story of having your mom go out there, and that's not something you see a lot.
It's not, man. And most of the times now, it seems if you see a woman hunting, it's somebody that got into it. And I don't know, I want to say for the wrong reasons, but my mom's definitely in it for the right reasons. And being able to capture that chair with her was just awesome. And the past 7 years hunting with her has been great. Every year I've made it a priority to get out with her at least once, and usually more than that, and try to get her on something. Last year I had a bull at 20 yards just behind some deep brush. And when he finally took off, I thought she was going to cry. She was so sad. And then the next day I had her on a cow, and she drew back and her arrow fell off her rest because she wasn't shooting a full containment like she needs to. And when she let down, she punched release, the arrow took off, hit a rock, and then the cow took off. So she's just been so close so many times, dude. But
I mean, but if you're going to get it done, mountain goat, that's the one to do it, right?
Right, right. Yeah, it's talk about starting at the top and working your way down. But there's 7 years of starting at the top there, so.
Right. The restart, the reboot.
Yeah.
Better, faster, stronger this time around.
Exactly.
Hey, try turning on your camera again. Let's see if we can get that.
All right, let's see how.
Those people enjoying the video feed, you won't be seeing just me sit here twiddling my thumbs. You might get to see a little of Lane himself. There we go.
What's up? About my
Yeah.
new hardware? I got some braces put on a couple hours ago, so.
I guess if we're gonna launch it, I guess, let's introduce those braces right at it, right?
Yeah, and that's why I sound a little funny if I sound funny. So I'm still getting used to talking with these things.
Man, and you got your championship bow hunting hat on, looking good.
I did. Got a rep, man. Got a rep, brother.
I agree.
It was this or my Slumberjack hat, and that was in the truck. So I went with this one.
We won't tell them. Hope they listen to the video or the audio version, and we'll just be like, "Yeah, Lane, that's a great looking Slumberjack hat you got on."
Yeah, it's Russ. I'm wearing Slumberjack.
Oh man, I think video is gonna slow down your audio, so let's turn that camera back off. Sorry, people, you gotta look at him though.
We'll just post a picture of me for the whole thing, just like up there,
There you go. Or
grinning and all.
so, how did you get into the whole working with Outback Outdoors? How'd you break in?
It's kind of just right place, right time as far as that goes. I'd shoot an archery league in Fort Collins, and Trevin was there, and it's when he was first getting involved in filming for his own show. He'd been working for Eastman's before and doing some other stuff, and he hit me up about just the first time I went and did something for him. He was talking at Bass Pro Shops, and I just went down there, and he put the camera on automatic and told me to take some pictures, and I did that for him. And then he needed a cameraman for a hunt, but I was too busy working in the oil field, couldn't do it. And so for 2 years, we just kind of went back and forth on he would need it, and I was never free. And I just told him, hey, I'm interested, but I can't make the time. And then when I got out of the oil field in the fire department, I had the time, and he put something out on Facebook that he wanted an intern. And so I text him right away. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm your guy. And he's like, I don't want, he's like, I need an intern for video editing. I was like, yeah, cool, great, let's do it. He's like, no, let's make you a cameraman. And so that day, dude, I was over at his office, and he was teaching me the ropes. And a week later, we were filming a spot hog commercial, and then we went out and did some stuff at the 3D range. And I remember Rebecca, my wife, looking at me, and she's like, you're going to film? You're not going to shoot? And I was like, yeah. She's like, well, why are you going to do that? I was like, well, I want to get into this, and I got to make some sacrifices. If I start doing it, I knew right away there's going to be some times where I wasn't going to be the hunter. I was going to be the cameraman, and I was ready to jump in and try it out. And I love it, man. I love being behind the camera just as much as being behind my bow. To me, when I'm on a hunt like that, at least the way OO runs it, I'm just as much the hunter as I am the cameraman. In fact, it's kind of harder most of the time because you're sitting there, and while the cameraman's glassing and or while the hunter's glassing and taking a break, you're getting all this footage and what we call B-roll, which is the pretty shots and the filler shots, and you're actually working your butt off the whole time. So, and then when you get back and the host is getting ready to go to bed, you're downloading footage, and I just that's kind of the short on how I got into it, man. After that, I went on a hunt with him and Sean Greathouse and Nebraska, or not Nebraska, on the Nebraska-Colorado border, filmed some openings for the Cabela's shoot, for the Cabela's openings, and just started filming other stuff and worked for free for a while, man, and just kept hustling.
That sounds like a good time. And what's it like being not being the hunter?
I know some guys that struggle. The biggest thing to struggle when you're a cameraman and you're a hunter is not trying to tell the host how to hunt. There's a lot of guys that'll do that, and I feel like I'm pretty good about just sitting back. If they ask me a question, I'll give them my opinion on it. But other than that, I try to be pretty good about just keeping my mouth shut and telling them I would do this completely differently. But there's a reason there in front of the camera, and I'm not when it comes to that. I mean, all of our hosts are really awesome hunters, and they have their different styles. But there's definitely times where, like, why are we doing this? Let's go over there.
So, what are some of the different styles you've seen?
I think the two exact opposite kind of guys are would be Adam Wells, who is extremely methodical. Everything he does, he knows why he's doing it, and he's really going in the mind, I would say, of the animal. Like, he's really, like, that guy knows elk, and he knows whitetails like nobody else. And there might be somebody out there who knows whitetails better, but I would really urge you to find somebody that knows more about elk than Adam Wells. That guy's just knowledge base. If I could have 1% of it, I think I would be a better bow hunter. The guy is just extremely smart about habitat, why they do what they do, the way they think and stuff. And so everything he does when he's hunting has to do with the habitat, what they're doing and everything. And I say not the other end of the spectrum, but just a different style would be Trevin's style, which is a little bit more go out and get them. If they're down there, we're gonna boogie on down there. We're gonna get them. If we bust them, hey, at least we tried, which is totally more in my wheelhouse as far as hunting. So, but
I think I'm with you on that one. I'm not one for being able to just kind of wait, if you will. And I spend a lot of time waiting in a tree stand. So when something comes along, it's like, all right, I'm getting ready. I'm getting fired up. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't always work in my favor. But sometimes being, you know, like this last 8-pointer I took, I got aggressive. I went after it. I actually got down out of my stand, right? And I crawled over to where in this cornfield I was hunting on, there was a tree down. And so the farmer had to lead the corn up around it. And I got behind it, kneeling, ranged them 65 yards, let it fly. Boom, got him. And had I not gotten down out of the stand and crawled over, he would have just walked off. He would have been gone.
Yep. Yeah, and that's totally my style, especially when it comes to whitetail. Dude, I would totally do that, where most other guys would probably tell that you're crazy for getting down out of your stand. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to make cinema gold here. I'm trying to put him on the ground.
Yeah, put some meat in the freezer, man.
Dude, but I'll be honest. I was nervous as you wouldn't believe that I was going to get blown out or something was going to happen, because he was surrounded by like 6-7-ish does, and they never saw me, never knew I was there. And when I hit him, he kind of, you know, his back was raised, but he didn't run, and all of a sudden he just kind of took off. And I'm like, all right, wait a little bit, go up to look if there's some blood. And as I'm walking up, boom, a deer busts out of the brush, runs in the opposite direction. I'm thinking, man, he sounded heavy. So I run around to the corner where the corner of our property meets another property. And I know the dude there has a tree stand. And so I climb up in it to look. And sure enough, I can see him down in this. It's an old gravel quarry, like really old gravel quarry that abuts our property. And I can see him down in there. Sure enough, he beds down. I say, all right, that's enough for tonight. Come back at 11 o'clock. He was about 10 feet farther from where I last saw him, dead as a doornail.
Dude, that's awesome. How many guys do you know that have done spot and stalk on a whitetail? That doesn't happen. So that's got to be a rush when you're doing it, dude.
I felt more like a pervert or a serial killer. Like, here's why. Like, I feel like there should be more nuance to spot and stalk, more like, I don't know, purpose to it. I felt like just a bungling idiot. Like, my heart was jacked out of my body. My mind was just like, I felt like I was on drugs. Have you ever had that? I call it like a hunter's high. You ever?
Oh, dude, yeah. High? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I missed my first elk because of it, man.
Like, I honestly, just not, I mean, I look back at it and it's like, like you say, most people wouldn't do that. I'm thinking like, what am I thinking getting out of this stand? What am I doing? Like, I'm not going to make it over there. And then like I crawl over and I'm like, shoot, here I am kneeling behind this tree looking all good and stuff. It's like, range them. All right. I feel confident about this. I've practiced these shots before, you know, shout out to Train to Hunt. Training for that competition gets you ready for just about anything.
So, oh, yeah.
I feel confident. I feel really confident. And it just connected. And it's one of those things, though, where as soon as you do it, you know how you're like, shoot. You know, is he going to go down? Is he going down? And when they don't, like, immediately, like, react, it was just weird because he didn't react. it was just like, yeah, he's you know, hunched up, but he wasn't really reacting for a while until he just took off into the bushes. And I was like, man, did I get him? I'm like, I could have sworn I got him. And so it was all that, like, now I'm coming down from the hunter's high where things are starting to make, like, you know, maybe a logical person would have done what I just did, get out of the stand, come on down over here. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm glad I did, and I'd do it again.
Oh, dude, yeah, all the time. If you see it like that, you know they're not coming in. Other guys will tell you, yeah, you know, you run the risk of blowing out that buck that's coming in behind you. But if you got one in front of you, yeah, and two, one in the hand's better than two in the bush, they say, right?
Exactly, and I can see behind me, and there is nothing coming in behind me. It was definitely one of those now or never deals. Like,
exactly. Yep. Yeah, no, I would have done the exact same thing in that situation, dude. I haven't spent a lot of time in the whitetail stand just the past couple years, and I definitely would do that in a heartbeat if I had the opportunity.
What's your favorite animal to hunt?
If you'd asked me 2 years ago, hands down, it would have been elk. But last year, I got to go on that bighorn sheep hunt of my own, and that really has me hooked on these mountain animals, dude. It is a completely different game. You're not calling them in, which is kind of different because that's part of the rush in elk hunting. But, man, just being in those extremes and hunting those animals, it's got to be sheep hunting, sheep and mountain goats. If you can kind of like just group that type of animal together, I love it, man. And if it wasn't so damn expensive, I'd be doing it every year. But when you're looking at 40 grand for a hunt, it kind of puts the dampener on it.
Yeah. I view elk as mountain animals, though. I guess I have a little bit different perspective.
It's a different extreme, man. I mean, yeah, you can get in some nasty, rough country with elk hunting, but you get in some super crazy stuff when you're mountain goat hunting or you're sheep hunting. And sheep hunting in particular, at least with me, it was some extremely steep stuff that was awesome that just made you push yourself physically. And then mentally, you were questioning whether you were sane because you were up there or not. So I loved it, man. That's a completely different level to me.
If you could only hunt one animal the rest of your life, what would it be?
That I would have to come back to elk, just because as much as I loved the way that the bighorn sheep tasted, elk still tastes better to me. And if it comes down to it every year and I'm eating it every year, then it's probably going to be the elk. So, because I still love elk hunting, don't get me wrong. When you get that bull running in and it's screaming 10 yards away from you behind a tree and you're just waiting for him to take two more steps so you can see it, and the hair is on the back of your hand is just standing up and your blood is pumping at a million miles an hour, and just the rush you get off is still awesome, and the meat just tastes amazing. So coming back to it, I have to come back to the meat and go with elk.
We met, right, through Train to Hunt.
Yeah.
How did you get into Train to Hunt?
Dude, actually, so I got into Train to Hunt the very first year it came to Colorado. You know Chris Honstein?
Yeah, I know Chris.
So I worked with Chris in the oil field, and he was a company man, and I'd go out and do jobs for him and stuff. And so we would talk about hunting. We started hunting together and everything, and I'm reading the Eastman's one day, and I see this thing that Chris and I both are into working out and stuff, and I see this thing for this thing called the Train to Hunt Challenge, and it's going to be in Denver. So the first thing I do is I call Chris. I go, dude, we're doing this. And he's like, you're nuts, man. No. I was like, no, you don't understand. This is going to be badass. So I get him talked into it, and then he finds out that it's $100. And he's like, I'm going to spend $100. But we get all amped up. We think that we're these big – badass mofos, and we're going to go crush this because we work out all the time and we hunt hard and we go in the backcountry and we've done this crazy stuff. So we show up to the first Train to Hunt in Colorado thinking we're pretty tough, dude. And I tell you what, man, it was an awesome, humbling experience. It was great. I think Chris ended up third in the old man division, as I'll tell him. And then I ended up fourth or fifth. I didn't place in the podium. Santino beat me. And it was just an awesome experience, dude. The guy that won overall is a dude that hasn't done it since, But he won Idaho, and then he came down to Colorado just randomly with his dad, and he happened to be in town at the same time, and he crushed everybody by like 4 minutes, dude. I swear this guy could give Phil a run for his money. The guy is just insane.
This guy's just never been back.
No, he hasn't done it since, man. I don't know what's up. He was a, I know that year he had won the Triple Crown for like Idaho, Montana, and like Washington or something in their little IBO circuit. And the dude was one hell of a 3D shooter. And then he was a football coach and a wrestling coach for this high school. And for being in his mid-40s, this guy to this day could still kick my ass in almost any physical feat. I'm sure of it.
You know, you're definitely seeing quality athletes out for Train to Hunt now.
Yeah, and I still I can for the life of me, I know this guy's name and it's on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of it right now. I guarantee you Kenton would be able to say it, but this guy would still be in the top, I guarantee it, if he were to come out in that shape, if he's, and I'm sure he has kept himself in that.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
But it's like a, it's like Jeff Mott, you know, and Willie Beebe. Those guys are almost into the super old man division. And those guys, man, if I had to compete against them, I'd still be worried. I can tell you that. And they're twice my age. There's a little sting for you, Jeff.
They can put the throttle down.
Oh man, it's insane, man. It is insane. You would not think that those guys are their age. I can tell you that. And I hope I can be like that when I hit their age.
I mean, you're a shooter too. You're not just one of these weekend warriors. You've done a lot of competitive shooting.
My biggest thing is I can fall back on is I grew up competitive shooting. Before I was a hunter, I was a competitive shooter, shot on the national level and the Joad circuit and in the Vegas shoot. And really, dude, there was days where I was shooting 400 arrows a day. So I have that to fall back on a lot for my shooting. And I probably don't practice as much as I should. If I get out and I shoot 10 to 20 arrows a day, I'm doing good. So.
Yeah, you better get out shooting more because for all of those people out there who don't know, Lane and I have decided we're going to take down Phil and Matt Davis in Denver this year.
Bring it, boys. We're going to show up to the party.
That's right. We're teaming up, and I recommend everybody does find a partner, be at Denver. That's where the show.
I'm with you, dude. Teams are where it's at, man.
They are.
Last year at Nationals, when you and I ran the circuit together, I had more fun because we had already agreed that we were going to stay together and push each other. And we did that, and it was 10 times more fun. I didn't even care where I standed at the end because I had such a blast run as a team.
Ah,
So.
good time, man. And that's the thing. I think more people are going to be attracted to the team aspect because, you know, hunting alone is all right, but hunting with other people is more fun. And I think being competitive is the same, and we were talking to guys, you know, a lot of the Train to Hunt guys showed up at Phil's shop. We were talking to him, and it was like, you know, it's just that having to be on, feel like you have to kind of isolate yourself and have game face on the entire time when you're by yourself.
Yeah, and I'm right with you on the hunting by yourself. I went solo this year. I did a solo hunt last year, and if I can help it, I'm not going to do a solo hunt again because it's still fun, but it's not nearly as much fun as doing it with somebody else and sharing that experience with somebody else, at least to me. There's some guys I know that love going by themselves, but to me, I love being in a team and working together with somebody, and even if that means that I'm going to have to shoot half as much or have half the amount of chances to get an animal, I'm fine with that just to be with someone else and share it with them.
And I think sharing the experience sometimes makes it more valuable.
Oh, exactly, dude. I mean, that's part of why we're out there, you know. Yeah, we're out there to fill the freezer and get an animal and stuff, but at the same time, I'm out there to, you know, have these memories to look back on when I've pushed myself too much, I can't move anymore.
Let's hope that day doesn't come anytime soon.
Let's hope that that's like in 100 years, man. That's what I'm shooting for. So,
I'm with you. Now, you and I also share something that's very near and dear to both of our hearts, and that is a love for CT Fletcher videos.
oh, dude, that guy's videos. If you are like on the border, whether you want to go to the gym one day or you walk in the gym and you're feeling swoop. And swoop, if anybody doesn't know, it's the opposite of sweet. You're just feeling swoop. You're not feeling it. You don't want to be at the gym. Turn on a CT Fletcher video, and you're going to go get a PR that day, man. I love it.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. He gets you into that zone, you know? There's like no better motivation into having him yell at you.
Oh, yeah. There was the other day I was in the gym. I wasn't feeling it. And just one of those happened to be on Facebook. And I put that on. And I played it probably 6 or 7 times in a row. And I went from having just this really bad workout to having a really awesome workout just like that, dude. I mean, it was instantaneously. It's the first minute of that video, dude. I was lifting heavy.
What's your favorite video of his?
Dude, that's a good question. I don't know if I can name it. There's one where he's talking about him and his dad. And the way that things changed with him and his dad and growing up and stuff. And I really like that one as far as the story goes. And it still got you motivated. And when he was talking about setting the world record with the curl.
Yep, I've seen it. Yep.
That video itself, just seeing a dude curl that much weight blows your mind.
What, 225?
Like 225, yeah.
I think it's 225.
Like right in that range, which I don't know. My brother usually has to do that when we're bench pressing together, so maybe he could do it.
My favorite one is there's no such thing as overtraining, which is the first video of his I saw, and that's when I became hooked. Just his line about those people out there who want to sit home on the couch, eat bonbons all day.
Yep.
Me sick. Like.
Oh, I don't want to overdo it. I tell you what, dude, 99% of the people out there that are worried about overdoing it, they're not overdoing it, and they don't have to worry about overdoing it, man. It takes quite a bit to overdo it. I know of one dude that has rabbed out, and that was in my fire academy because we're having like 16-hour days working out nonstop. And at the end of a 20-hour day, he finally collapsed. But other than that, I don't think you have to worry about rabbing out or pushing yourself too much to where your muscles aren't going to recover for your next workout a week later.
That's the thing. I think like some people sometimes get so worried about overdoing something, they underdo it.
Yeah, exactly. And I can see that in a lot of people that are talking. And, you know, I've probably been guilty of it too. I'm like, oh, I don't feel good. Maybe I should take a break. But that's not me worried about overtraining. That's me being lazy, you know. At least I can admit it.
All right.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
This morning we had a workout, and it involved every 90 seconds you do a match. And you can climb if you want to. Here's the thing. We had already done some at 50, 60, and 65%. And our coach, John, he's coaching the competitors class, like, all right, you can go up if you want to. But if you miss a lift, it's 20 burpees.
Ooh.
Right? Well, I'm like, all right, first one, play it safe. I'm like 20 pounds under my PR. And I'm like, all right, that was nice. I go up a little more. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And I'm like, all right, 3 to go. Time to get a PR. So I just started throwing weights on. Well, I ended up owing about 60 burpees at the end.
Oh, shoot.
But I would always rather be the guy who owes 60 burpees going for it than have walked away from that class like, oh, yeah, that was nice. I did enough. Yeah,
but maybe I should have tried harder.
Exactly. I can't. I the rest of the day, knowing I did what I did, I didn't once think today, you know what? That was good. That was all right. You know, I didn't once think like, you know, I really shouldn't have gone that heavy. Those 60 burpees I had to do. Those, you know, what was I thinking? No, I didn't think that at all. But the time before when I played it safe, I spent the rest of the day thinking, I should have done more. I should have put more weight on the bar.
Oh, dude, and that goes straight back in a correlation to me with hunting. I don't know how many times I've been in the backcountry with Chris, and, you know, by day 3, you're on your 5-day hunt, and your cell phone has died, and you have no contact with the outer world, and Chris is out of Copenhagen back when he chewed, and so you guys decide to go home 2 days early. And then as soon as you get the truck and you charge the phone and Chris gets his Copenhagen, you're sitting there thinking, what am I doing? Why don't we push harder? Why did we go home 2 days early and then you're packing back in? So
I hear you. I would have to stay in the woods. I have to. Whenever I'm in, I have to stay until dark. Like I can't.
Yep.
I can't leave it out there. You know. You don't there's nothing like, I won't beat myself up if I sit there and freeze for 15 minutes longer, but if I pack it in 15 minutes early, I would murder myself over it until the next time I was out.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. But going back to your workout, dude, what gave you the motivation this morning, or the little ump you needed to get you up to that to try that PR?
You know,
there's something that you took this morning?
Yeah, there is something I took. It's funny you ask, because I snorted a line of Yeti. No, I'm just kidding. I took it and looked. For all of you who don't know what Yeti is, it's a delicious pre-workout drink that the words escaping me now, so I'm just going to smooth right over it.
Isn't that made by Mountain Ops?
It is made by Mountain Ops, and they are great people who make great products. I've had some shake videos up with some of their fine protein Magnum, which comes in chocolate and vanilla, that you can get at mountainops.com. And if you use the coupon code NBH20, you can get 20% off your order at Mountain Ops.
And that is NBH20, right? NBH20?
Dang, Lane, you're good at this. You are in the industry. That's right. NBH20 will get you 20% off your Mountain Ops order. And you know what I love about, I love Mountain Ops products. I love what Mountain Ops does, pushing the hunter athlete movement. I love the guys behind Mountain Ops. They come on the show. Great, amazing guys, Casey and Jordan. They're amazing, right? But Jordan has gone above and beyond what a normal, like, Jordan's a friend, right? I consider Jordan and Casey friends. But Jordan is the kind of guy who does what he says he'll do. Sometimes it takes him a little while to call you back, but eventually he will. He does a lot of meetings these days. His Mountain Ops is kicking ass, taking names. You know, they're working with the PBR Pro Bull Riding now, and busy guys, and we've been talking, you know, me, him, Phil, Matt Anderson, and about how, you know, there's not enough content out there. There's not enough grassroots community for hunter athletes out there. And so we kicked it around, and we came up with an idea, you know, let's start something. Let's get it going. And I said, Jordan, but what we're really going to need for this community is just a burning hot logo that when you see it, you're going to think, ooh, Lord. That's a serious logo. And you know what? Jordan's like, dude, we're super busy. It's our fourth quarter. You know, if you don't mind waiting, if you've got time, I'm like, that's fine. You know, this movement is going to be powered by Mountain Ops. You guys are involved, whatever. Take your time. Just two conditions. It's got to be burning hot, and I'd like it to somewhat go with the Mountain Ops logo, right? Jordan's like, all right, man, it's just going to take me some time. Just, you know, I hope you don't mind waiting. He's like, I'll understand if you go somewhere else. And I'm like, Jordan, dude, I know you're super talented at this. Take your time. About 20 minutes go by. Boom. Iron Wolf Athletics is born. Smoking logo he sends me. You guys can see it here on the video version.
Oh, yeah, that's smooth, man. That is smooth.
The Wolf, Iron Wolf Athletics. This is one of the best ways to tell you what it is by telling you what it won't be. Natural Born Hunter is kind of a one-way mirror. Where we put it out there, everyone out listening absorbs, right? Iron Wolf Athletics, we started, you know, we have an Instagram account, and we started a Facebook page that we're not really pushing right now. But more importantly, we have a Facebook group. And that is so the hunter athlete community can come together, congregate, socialize, you know, post their pictures, their videos, whatever they're doing. If maybe, you know, it's a hunting picture, maybe it's your workout stuff, maybe you got some questions to ask or something life, you know, maybe you're taking a ski trip, whatever it is, you can, you know, finally be together in the hunter athlete community and push it and build it and grow it, because we've talked about it. We got to keep pushing and growing this community and take over hunting. And so I know there's guys out there who they might have their own training, you know, and it's a place where train to hunt can come together. Those guys can come together. Some people are putting together competition or nutrition stuff or whatever you have. You can go there and, you know, talk and like I said, just come together with these like-minded hunter athletes, and there will be more content coming out and stuff in that nature. But if you want people, go ahead, join the Iron Wolf Athletics Facebook group, become part of the Wolf Pack. Be a part of it. Be a part of what you love. Help push it forward. What was awesome is we go to Denver this week. You know, I got some of the Iron Wolf stuff I had made up to kind of start to launch the little, like a soft announcement. And I got guys like Lane and some of the other dudes coming up, like, what is this? And I tell them, and they're all in. They're just the response I got of guys who just want that kind of momentum behind the movement and to be a part of the movement and to put their own ideas and their own spin on things out there and have a place to do it is just overwhelming. You know, what was your feeling, Lane? Because I know you were excited about it.
Yeah, no, dude, I am excited about it because it's something that we talked to other guys out there that it's a one-way street. You know, it's, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And this is something where we really want to just build the hunter athlete community because, honestly, there's Mountain Ops is one of the – and a few other companies are the only ones that are really getting behind the hunter athlete and taking it a little bit more serious than I think they should because – It's a new thing that's growing and it's moving and, you know, we want to be out there and we want stuff that's made more for the hunter athlete. And I think it's a good way to bring it together and just raise up and, you know, raise up everybody that is a hunter athlete.
Exactly. You know, you said it perfect right there. It's just the tide rises, all boats rise. You know, when the water rises, all the boats rise. We all come up. I think Jordan actually might have said that to me, so I'm stealing it from him. Just like this sweet, sweet logo he made for us. And like you say, they're getting behind the movement. They're being a part of it. So they're my people, you know. I got to stick with my people and build up around it. And hopefully those people bring in more people and we just keep growing it. And our voice gets louder in the industry and people start taking notice. Shout out to Kafaru. Aaron Snyder showed us a pack this weekend that was just an unbelievably badass pack. I mean, it was just a prototype. There's no name yet. I'm really trying to push the Will Bradley, but if that doesn't work out, I would also settle for the Wolf Pack. But it's going to be geared towards doing events like Train to Hunt or Phil's Alpha Bow Hunter competition. It's also going to be able to use in 3D because you're going to be able to hold your arrows in the back. It's going to be super versatile, just a really ingenious pack. And, you know, that's already someone in the industry taking note of what's going on. So you got to support companies like that and just appreciate it when they do take note of something cool like the Hunter Athlete Movement.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the guys that are actually, you know, taking it apart and supporting it and putting their money behind it where their mouth is. I mean, everybody that supports the Train to Hunt community, whether it's I'm trying to think of everybody he has. There's Cryptech is one of the main guys. There's Slumberjack, who I work with, that makes another great pack company, not taking anything away from Kafaru. They make good stuff too. Slumberjack is making some good stuff and really putting their money behind these hunter athletes. And there's all these other companies that help with the Train to Hunt and these other companies that are looking at it and, you know, thinking, hey, maybe I should get involved in that. I know Hoyt's a big sponsor of the Train to Hunt and these other movements that are coming in, and it's nice to see that there's a recognition there. I know Killcliff is another company that's coming in and really wanting to get involved in it and actually looking at it and saying, hey, we're gonna help these guys out a little bit and start making stuff that, you know, caters towards them a little bit more instead of just the guy who's sitting on the East Coast in a tree stand, which nothing against it. That's great. It's hard in its own way, but it's not the same stuff, you know. It's that guy who's going to be in the East Coast getting out of his tree stand and stocking up on it. That's what we want. So And if you tell, most of your East Coast hunters, oh yeah, I stocked up on this deer and I shot it, this whitetail, they're gonna call BS. They're like, no way, no, you didn't. You can't sneak up on them. I don't know how many times I've been told you can't spot and stalk whitetail. And I know multiple guys that have done it, man. You just got to get out and do it.
You know the thing that's funny is I probably have like 100, like I don't know if I'd say 100, but probably 20, 25 to 50 times more hunting friends out in like from the western, that western half of the country than I do in the Northeast.
That is funny, man. I mean, that's just more for, there's more guys out here. I know they say there's a lot of the whitetail hunters out east, but
We're going
we got our
for
good chunk of the
quality, man.
western hunter.
Not quantity, right?
Exactly.
So you also talked to me about a really cool video idea, and this is what I love, and this is where I think Iron Wolf Athletics is kind of sparking the flame, if you will, and guys are gonna fan that flame and let it burn. But you heard about this, and you're like, dude, I got an idea for it. And why don't you tell me a little bit about your idea for your video series?
I want to start out with something awesome that just gets guys pumped up to either go to the gym or go shoot their bow, get ready for elk hunting, or something you can watch when you're getting pumped up to go elk hunting or hunting in general. And something kind of like that CT Fletcher video. It's going to be our own thing and it's going to involve more than just one person. It's not going to be focused on, hey, look at me, what I'm doing to get ready. It's going to have multiple people in there pushing and saying, hey, you know what? I don't care that you don't have to go to the gym and lift weights every day. You don't have to go to the gym and push yourself to kill an elk. Like you can, I got buddies that do it all the time when they're driving around the truck and they get lucky. That's great, whatever. That's not me. And I'm not telling you don't drive around your truck and hunt. I don't care. But don't tell me that I don't have to go to the gym to work out. Don't tell me that I don't have to backpack in to go kill an elk. I know I don't have to. I want to. Hell, where I go hunt, man, there's guys that kill elk outside of their truck every single day, and I'm coming out. And, sometimes you question, why did I go back there so far to shoot one? I could shoot one right next to the truck. And it's because I want to push myself. And I just want to capture that in the video and not just focused on me. In fact, it's probably not going to be focused on me at all because I'll probably be the cameraman behind it all and focus on all these other guys that are doing so much and just make a motivational video kind of like that to push us,
So should we put out like an all points bulletin right now for any hunter athletes who would be interested in being in this?
Yeah, let's do it, man. I got some guys in mind that I can get here. I'm sure you got some guys that you can that you have in mind there, but I just got to talk to these guys, see if they're willing to let me follow them around with the camera for a couple hours and get some cool stuff getting ready,
All right, so you heard it. If you are interested in being a part of this video, that Lane is going to shoot and create, where can they reach you, Lane?
Hit me up on my Facebook, man. I got that Messenger. I'm always on there, pretty well. Or hit me up on my Instagram. You can do that too. But just hit me up on one of those. If you really want to email me, I'm sure my email's connected to something. But it's I'll get you faster on a Messenger on Facebook than anything because that's just like a text message for me. So
There you go.
hit me up on there on my Instagram, and we'll go from there and get something figured out.
That's what I'm talking about. So it's just, and that is what I'm talking about, man, because this hunter athlete movement, that's what it's going to be about. It's going to be about you with guys with ideas, getting together with guys who want to be a part of it and grow it and just get after it. And that's what it needs.
Yeah, we
I
just
want
feed the fire, man. We're going to feed the fire and we're going to take over. We're going to take us by storm, you know?
Hell yeah, take over, hostile takeover if need be. Watch out, hunting industry. The hunter athlete movement's coming for you. And, I said it before, Iron Wolf Athletics is going to be the vehicle, but we're all the mechanics putting the pieces together on the vehicle, and we're going to get the ride we deserve.
Let's do it, man. And we're going to make it awesome. We're not going to get a ride. We're going to get a flight out of this.
Ha, I like it. I like it. Why? It doesn't have to be a car, it can be any vehicle we're building.
Do a jetpack. That sounds sweet.
Yeah. So, you know what else is awesome?
What's that?
Alaskan Guide Creations Bino Packs.
I have seen the pictures of those and I have not got a chance to check them out yet, though. But those, they look pretty sweet.
What are you doing with your life?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That kid's
That's
taking
a
too much time. You might want to get rid of him.
No. If I had to do it all, if I had to choose between one or the other, I wouldn't be hunting anymore. I could tell you that, dude.
That's
So,
beautiful.
but
For all of those of you who may have a little more time to check out the Alaskan Guide Creation Vinyl Packs. They're phenomenal. I hunt with them. Phil hunts with them. A lot of great guys who are far better hunters than me hunt with them, and they swear by them. Jared Owens, the guys at Alaskan Guide Creations, Carlos Bersabe, they're just great dudes making a great product. I think they just added a little harness or kind of clip thing that will also hold the vinyls, attach the binos to the pack so they can kind of hang. It's a cool little attachment. I'm sure you could check it out or email them, contact them to find out more about it. But they're super awesome, great place to keep your binos. Great durable product, American made. I know everybody here loves America, especially products made in America.
yes, sir.
That's right. You should. You're a firefighter. You're supposed to be extra patriotic.
Extra, yeah, extra patriotic. That's me. Which I do. Hey, big shout out to the veterans today too. I mean, we got Veterans Day podcast going on and stuff, and I know we wouldn't be here without those guys. So shout out to you, shout out to my brother, shout out to Lance and everybody else that served.
And
So
boys, Ryan, I know I missed
yeah.
a few, but hey, thank you all for your service. It's a saying you hear a lot, but it's the home of the free because of the brave. Also, I think we're gonna have the dude from Wishes for Warriors on sometime soon, so check that out if you're so inclined. Very cool stuff they have going on. Lance, it or I mean not Lance, Lane, it has been a pleasure having you on the podcast. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on, man.
Oh, dude, thanks for having me. We'll have to do it again. We didn't talk about half the things that we talked about before we wanted to hit up, so.
Problem. We will definitely have to have you on again. Especially, we're gonna do have to do some build up smack talking episodes. Maybe we can get Matt Davis on and Phil
Oh,
together.
yeah. Definitely doing some smack talking, man. I'll have to start poking him on Facebook. Just like Khalid, the Broncos player, poke the guy in the eye. I'll just start poking him. Just come
Dude.
on, let's do it.
We'll all get a message. Dude, this dude Lane's super creepy. He's been poking Facebook.
I'll ensure I never get sponsored by a boat company.
You're gonna poke your way right out of it.
Just poke, poke.
Oh man, that's awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Natural Born Hunter podcast. Don't forget, if you can, we would really appreciate you heading over to iTunes, giving us a review, rating the podcast.
You might want to give some step-by-step directions on that, because that is a huge pain in the butt to find
All right.
on
All right.
iTunes.
You give us some step-by-step instructions because I don't know how to do that.
I know it's been a while since I did it, so I probably couldn't do it anymore.
Right,
Maybe we'll make a little video.
yeah, you gotta find
I'll work on a video that shows you how to do it.
it over on iTunes, and I'm pretty sure you click review, and you have to be signed into your account, and then review it. Other than that, I'm not sure what else it entails. But if you could do all that would just be awesome. Also, if you
And subscribe.
And subscribe. Yeah, subscribe to us. Subscribe to that. Subscribe to our YouTube. Find us on Instagram, Facebook. Join the Iron Wolf Athletics group on Facebook. Just find some new boys to hang out with on social media, or ladies. Everyone's welcome, whatever. I think that's all I got. Soon we'll have a store up, so we'll be selling some shirts and this fine hat I'm wearing. Iron Wolf Athletics hat, and yeah, hope everyone's having a great week. Thank you again to all the veterans. This is the greatest country in the world. I've been to a few different ones, and there's no doubt. So, from the Natural Born Hunter podcast, wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.